The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt here. I am not there today. I'm in Oklahoma City, but I'll be back tomorrow. Meanwhile, Bruce Hooley, the one and only voice of Columbus, joins us. He, of course, knows all things Browns and Buckeyes, which qualifies him for this job. But more importantly, the great man on the radio knows the news, knows everything you need to know. Take it away, Bruce.
Thank you, Hugh. It is a pleasure to be with you from America's heartland, Columbus, Ohio. I am Bruce Hooley, privileged to be in for Hugh Hewitt today. Hugh is in Oklahoma City, so he's at the home of Oklahoma State University, which is, you would tell you, the counterfeit OSU. I come to you from America's heartland, the capital of the state of Ohio, where Ohio State University is located, and I want to wish you a happy anniversary. It has been 1 week since the election of Glenn Youngkin as Virginia's governor-elect. And it's been 5 years to the day since the election of Donald J. Trump as the 45th president of the United States. Yesterday we were freed from 8 years of Barack Obama. But if you thought you were done experiencing the pleasure of having Barack Hussein Obama wag his finger at you and tell you, A, what a wonderful person he is, and B, what a terrible, horrible, awful person you are. Well, you are sorely mistaken, as Barack Obama yesterday was speaking in Glasgow, Scotland at the climate conference. And, you know, if you've forgotten what it was like to be reproved by the great uniter, the man who brought back racism bigger and better than ever during the 2 terms of his reign of error. Well, let's refresh your memory, shall we? This is how Barack Obama began his speech yesterday. Enough about you talking about me. Let me tell you about me.
I'll be back in the UK. It is, let's face it, wonderful to be traveling anywhere these days. And thank you, Sheila, for that outstanding introduction and for all the work that you are doing in a part of the world that is feeling the effects of climate change right now. Thank you for making what sometimes can seem a bunch of abstract numbers painfully, immediately real. So we're very grateful for her. I am a private citizen now. So trips like this feel a little bit different than they used to. I don't get invited to the big group photo. Traffic is a thing again. Music doesn't play when I walk into the room. On the positive side, I can give a speech like this without wearing a tie and not create a scandal back home. I hope. But even though I'm not required to attend summits like this anymore, old habits die hard. And when the issue at hand is the health of our planet and the world our children and our grandchildren will inherit, then you will have a hard time keeping me away. And that's why I'm here today.
Of course that's why he's there today. He's there today because while the president of the United States, the guy he famously said turns everything he touches to, well, I can't say because I want to stay on the air according to FCC regulations, Joe Biden being in Glasgow, the president of the United States being in Glasgow, what, 13 members of his cabinet, an 85-car parade? That's not a carbon footprint. That's a carbon cannonball that we took to the climate change conference. None of them could articulate the importance of climate change like Barack Obama could, because, of course, nobody can do anything like Barack Obama can. He said it's painfully, immediately real climate change. Boy, I'll tell you what's painfully, immediately real. I filled up my car with gas last night. I don't drive a gas guzzler. I drive a mid-size sedan. I check the mileage, 34 miles per gallon. I'm seeing numbers I'm not used to seeing here in year one of the Biden administration. I'm not used to paying over $3 a gallon, 15 cents more per gallon in Columbus, Ohio this past week than the week before. I'm not used to seeing the first number on my bill at the end of filling up with gas be a 4 instead of a 2. That's something Joe Biden has brought to us and something that won't diminish if Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and the Democrats get their way on climate change. Barack says trips like this are different than they used to be. I bet not. I bet not. Did you fly commercial? Did you take a boat over there? Did you row a boat over there to save the climate? No, of course not. He took a private jet. And he's just like John Kerry, who, you know, we got to eliminate air travel, but not for people like me, because I'm important and I have to take a private jet. It's all rules that apply to thee, but not to me. You understand that's how Democrats operate. I'm Bruce Hooley. I'm in for Hugh Hewitt here in the ReliefFactor.com studios. It's nice to be with you. We will talk today about kitchen table issues, about whether the Democrats have learned their lesson from the Virginia elections. We will have David Drucker of the Washington Examiner joining us near the top of the hour. And I'm looking forward to speaking with Byron York in hour number two and Ben Domenech, who is someone I really enjoy, his writing at The Federalist and his reviews of politics and where we might be headed. Ben is the publisher of The Federalist. Columbus, Ohio, where I'm coming to you today from on 98.9 The Answer, has long been known as a test market for consumer goods. When McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King has a new sandwich coming out, they often debut it in Columbus, Ohio, because the people here are thought to be representative of the United States of America. Columbus itself is representative of the cities in the United States of America. Let me tell you how. Columbus used to be a city that was, I'll say ruled by Republicans, by wealthy businessmen. They were called locally the Titans of the city, the kind of people that you didn't do anything in town without going and checking with the president of Bank One or the publisher of the Columbus Dispatch, people like that. It also had Republican mayors, and it had a city council of Republicans and Democrats. Columbus, Ohio is not that anymore. Columbus, Ohio now is exclusively Democrat, to the point where if you want to be a judge in Columbus, Ohio, you pretty much can't even be endorsed by the Republican Party. We've had 3 judges in the last year flip their party affiliation. Why? Because their politics changed? No, because they like being judges and they were facing election and they knew if they were perceived to be Republican, they were not going to win. The city council of Columbus is not only all Democrat, there's not a single Republican until this last election a week ago who even ran for city council. It is government by acclamation. And yesterday, in one of the most popular, in fact, I would say the most popular shopping, dining, entertainment areas of Columbus. It's on the east side of town. It's called, fittingly enough, Easton. It was bankrolled and envisioned by one of those titans, a guy you might have heard of, Les Wexner. Les Wexner, the founder, creator of Limited Brands, Victoria's Secret. Les Wexner, not in the news as much as he used to be. Too many uncomfortable headlines about Les Wexner's past friendship with a guy you might have heard of, Jeffrey Epstein. Well, still, the Easton Shopping Complex remains Les Wexner's baby, his signature creation. Next to it is one of the more affluent suburbs in Columbus, Ohio, New Albany, Ohio, where everything is surrounded by beautiful white fencing. It is Americana to a T. Except that yesterday in Columbus, Ohio, just like has happened far too often in Chicago, 10 dead this past weekend, 50 shot. Just like has happened for far too long in Baltimore and Philadelphia, in Milwaukee and Los Angeles and San Francisco, where violence has ruined great American cities. A man was shot dead yesterday in broad daylight, 11:30 a.m. outside a Target in an area of town that if it gains the reputation as a place that is unsafe to go, then one of the last places in Columbus, Ohio, where people feel safe to congregate will be gone. Guy standing outside a Target department store, 11:30 in the morning. Somebody walks up to him and shoots him and kills him and runs away. And they don't know who did it. They can't find him. And that was the 175th murder in Columbus this year on November the 8th. That matches the record total of murders in Columbus, Ohio, recorded last year. Yes, elections have consequences, Barack Obama. It brought Columbus, Ohio, a record murder total last year. It's bringing them what will certainly be a new record total this year. So I remember what it's like to have you wag your finger at me. And I'm not ready to go back to that. You're listening to The Hugh Hewitt Show. I'm Bruce Hooley in for Hugh.
Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin Resveratrol Omega, temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains, temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains, and you can't do better than that three-week starter pack, $19.95.
Thank you for joining us on The Hugh Hewitt Show. I'm Bruce Hooley in for Hugh from the ReliefFactor.com studios. And it's our pleasure to be welcome to the show, David Drucker of the Washington Examiner. David is the author of In Trump's Shadow. And David, it's fitting that we bring up your book, In Trump's Shadow. It's 5 years ago today, Donald J. Trump was elected the 45th president of the United States. And a week ago today, Glenn Youngkin, in a Republican wave in Virginia, was elected governor of Virginia. Yet Friday, 13 Republicans in the House helped pass an infrastructure bill that Nancy Pelosi didn't have the votes to pass. I wondered how long it would take Republicans to screw up their gains in Virginia. In my opinion, it took less than a week. What's your thought on those 13 Republicans siding with the Democrats to pass that bill?
Yeah, look, it's interesting, and it's funny how you were able to tie all those anniversaries together. An election comes back around every couple of years. Mm-hmm. Nothing is static. And as you can see, nothing is static for even a week. Look, there were always going to be Republicans to vote for the infrastructure bill. I mean, the question here, the reason some people are angry, well, you have two sets of people, right? You have some people who don't want to have had them vote for it at all. Other people just wish they would have waited for Pelosi to cobble 218 votes on the board, mm-hmm. and then they would have been released. Or if not released, it just would have been understood that they were always going to vote for it because it was good for their district. It was good politics for them at home for their reelection. And, you know, I think that's been the trick with this infrastructure bill. It's not so much the Republicans voted for it. They did that in the Senate. They were going to do it in the House because, generally speaking, it's a hard infrastructure bill, and a lot of voters support that sort of thing. And in the House, where you do have some Republicans in swing districts, voting for a bipartisan bill and something like this has a lot of mileage. But the real issue here is Democrats just messed it up by bickering amongst themselves and linking for so many months the infrastructure bill with this big social spending bill, that reconciliation package that started out at $3.5 trillion. They cost themselves Republican votes, and they also cost themselves a victory lap, even though they took one. And it is an achievement of sorts from a political standpoint and a policy standpoint. If they would have moved this thing through Congress into the president's desk, you know, in mid-August or somewhere around there, right after the Senate passed it, rather than linking it to the social spending bill and being mired in infighting for months, it could have done Democrats a whole lot more good. And you probably would have seen possibly double the number of Republicans that voted for it, vote for it, in the first place. And so the real story here, I understand why Republicans are upset, is you ended up with only 13 votes because of how Democrats handled this. And they just simply, once it was on the floor getting votes, I think that there were enough Republicans that were going to vote for it and weren't going to let it fail.
But am I wrong? And David Drucker is our guest. You can follow David on Twitter at David M. Drucker. He's with the Washington Examiner, the author of the new book, In Trump's Shadow. Am I wrong? The AOC wing of the party, the progressive, most progressive wing of the party, they weren't going to vote for it right now. So why throw Nancy Pelosi a life preserver? I get your point that eventually they were going to have the votes and then you can jump on it. But I don't know why you expedite that process, because that gives the Democrats, in my mind, more time to get the social spending bill that they want to get to work on and try to wear down Joe Manchin and Kirsten Sinema in the Senate.
Right. So your read on this is viable, meaning it's not something I can argue with outright. And a lot of Republicans certainly feel this way. But it's also your political analysis of this is solid. But there's another way to look at this, just to play devil's advocate and to give you the different sides of this politically. The thing only got to the House because it got nearly 20 Republican votes in the Senate. So Republicans were already making this thing possible. And in some respects, by helping to pass the infrastructure bill, it actually now allows the centrists in the Democratic caucus more breathing room and creates less pressure for them to try and find a way to support the big social spending bill. It actually creates more breathing room for Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, because the one thing that the centrists and most rank and file members wanted across the board more than anything, maybe not on the Democratic side, but on the Republican, but across the board, was this infrastructure bill. So they effectively delinked it. And they also effectively, in a sense, rebuked the progressives who had been holding out and refusing to let this hostage out of the barn, because they wanted to spend a whole bunch of other money on a whole bunch of other social programs. So there's a case to make that the idea that Republicans were helping to make this possible was already a done deal, and that by passing the one thing that the centrists wanted on both sides of Capitol Hill, they now can play a bigger game of hardball with the social spending bill, because there is no linkage to the one thing they want. It may not turn out that way, but there's an argument to make that that is a possible outcome here.
Very good. Well, David, you made me feel better about it. I wish we had more time to discuss it. It's a fascinating topic. I appreciate your work. Follow David on Twitter at David M. Drucker. Get his new book, In Trump's Shadow. Hour number two of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Dead ahead, I'm Bruce Hooley, in for Hugh from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Back with more momentarily.
I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-1172.
Good morning, America. I'm Bruce Hooley, in for Hugh Hewitt here on the Hugh Hewitt Show from the ReliefFactor.com studios. My pleasure to be with you from America's heartland, Columbus, Ohio, where yesterday we recorded our 175th murder of the year, tying the record set last year. It is a story that resonates across America as the murder rate is up 30%. This unfortunate victim shot outside a department store in a major retail area in Columbus. So things are bad. Gas prices are up. The shipping crisis continues. And joining us to talk about all of those things is a gentleman that I admire greatly. I watch him on Fox News. I read him in The Federalist. He is Ben Domenech. Ben, thanks so much for your time today.
Good to be with you, Bruce. I see that you're bringing people just all sorts of joy and cheer on this lovely morning.
Yes, I am.
And in America, but the truth is, you know, that recognizing what's going on is vastly more important when so much is at stake and we have to look at what really is going on, as opposed to pretend that what we're dealing with is, as Jen Psaki likes to say, you know, just a delay in that exercise bike delivery or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, you have kids. I have kids. That's the America that I'm fighting for, that I think you're fighting for with the gifts that God has given us. And my eyes work, my brain works. I know that humiliating withdrawal from Afghanistan is not an extraordinary success. I know that empty shelves are not the result of consumer demand being out of line to the point where it needs to be dialed back. These policies don't work. And we saw evidence of that a week ago, Ben, with the Virginia gubernatorial election. And I thought you gave one of the smartest takes on that on Fox News afterward. And you said that the Democratic Party needs to get done blaming every failure that they experience on race. I agree with you. I just don't think they can back away from that. It's like it's in their DNA. Do you think they will back away from intersectional politics at all?
You know, I don't think so, at least not anytime soon. And part of that, I believe, is that unfortunately, the people who are actually active within the Democratic coalition, the most vocal members of their organizations and the most vocal people behind the scenes are true believers on a lot of this stuff. I mean, you know, if you want to rewind and look back at the failed Kamala Harris for president campaign, one of the after action reports on that ran in the New York Times talked about the fact that her campaign was basically pulled in different directions, where some consultants, some of the people who were close to her, really wanted her to run a campaign that was going to be more open, less tied to race, less tied to a woke agenda, but that the younger people who were on her team were paying attention every day to what was going on Twitter. Above everything else, what was trending, and that she needed to weigh in on all manner of different issues that they thought were important because of that. And I think that, unfortunately, you have a whole generation of people who have come out of these various institutions who have learned and become true believers in this woke agenda. And they really believe that, you know, when they make those arguments, they're speaking truth. The new John McWhorter book, Woke Racism, which I've been recommending to everybody over the past couple of weeks, is a great read for your listeners, and I hope that if you haven't seen it, that you'll check it out as well. And he talks about all of this through the frame of understanding it as a new religion, as a system of belief that is engaged in, you know, has sin and guilt and indulgences even, and you know, making recompense. But what it doesn't have is any kind of forgiveness or anything at the end that would lead to grace or to a better life for us as Americans. And I think, unfortunately, the people who really have bought into that religion are running the Democratic coalition right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Our guest is Ben Domenech of The Federalist. You see Ben on Fox News. You follow him on Twitter at B Domenech, D-O-M-E-N-E-C-H. I have heard John McWhorter talk at length about his book. And one of the things that I really admire about him is that he does not stand for this elevation of words as violence, this thing you talked about where, you know, truth, I always say, does not require a modifier. There is no my truth, your truth. That's opinion. Justice does not require a modifier. Justice with a modifier is I'm going to take from you and give to someone else. And John McWhorter is candid enough and bold enough to say those things. And I believe that you do, too. But as I look at the Republican Party, there's always this thing where I can rejoice that, okay, the Democrats are going to double down on racism is the reason Glenn Youngkin won. They're going to have AOC say, we didn't run a progressive enough campaign. That's fine, but the Republicans have to take advantage of those mistakes. And then I see 13 Republicans side with the Democrats and help them pass an infrastructure bill, Ben, that they couldn't have passed, at least at that moment, without their 13 votes. Am I wrong on that? And what was your view of the 13 Republicans in the House helping them pass that bill Friday?
Well, first off, I would say that in the abstract, the idea that you're going to lose a number of different Republicans, including people who are headed to the exits or represent, you know, urban districts that would benefit from that bill, in the abstract, you might understand why they would be tempted to break. But in the moment, just coming out of that significant sweep. I mean, keep in mind, you know, Virginia has not elected a Republican statewide since 2009, and to sweep into, you know, all all three of the statewides and then to take back the state house was just a significant electoral statement. To come out of that and then have these 13 Republicans break as they did on this infrastructure bill, I think was very bad optics for them. And certainly was a situation where they should have understood that in context, it would be read as a much worse decision than, you know, if this was back in the summer when this infrastructure bill was originally being discussed. The problem that I really have, though, moving forward is the question that you raised, which is, what are Republicans going to do with the opportunity that comes for them out of this? Mm-hmm. Everybody anticipates a wave election next year. You see the numbers for Joe Biden and his administration. You see how bad things are going and that Americans are waking up to that fact. But I think that what we experienced with the Tea Party movement really left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, which is that they have this backlash to the Obama agenda in 2010. And what did they get out of it? Well, you know, they really didn't get that much in terms of fundamental redirection of the coalition or anything along those lines. Are they supposed to be happy with sequestration and that kind of thing? Remember that as being the big takeaway? People want there to be dramatic change in the direction that the country is headed under these authoritarian leftists that have been in charge, quite frankly, for far too long, not just of our political institutions, but of every major institution of American life. They want Republicans to stand up on these culture war issues that they have been loathe to engage in, that people like Youngkin have been, I think, smart enough to engage mm-hmm. in and not back away from. That's something, though, that I think will require a lot of Republicans to get out of their comfort zone in terms of the issues that they're talking about and to be prepared to be called racist when they do it. And that's something that, you know, is absolutely one of the lessons I think we should take away from this moment. But what does that look like going forward? Does it look like a parental bill of rights? Does it look like a dramatic reformation of the way that we do education in this country? Does it look like something that goes beyond school choice and instead tries to offer to every American confidence that we're going to get this education system back on track, that their children are not going to be denied the right to learn and to be able to succeed in a competitive world? Those are all big questions, and I'm not mm-hmm. sure that Republicans have quite adopted the level of language or the level of understanding of these in a domestic way that could lead to the type of dramatic change that is needed.
I'm not sure they have either. Our guest is Ben Domenech of The Federalist. Follow Ben on Twitter at @BDomenech. This is, you're right, about the Tea Party. What did they get? And I would add to that, we were promised a wall. We had control of both houses of the Congress. We didn't get it. And so people wonder. Then they see this happen with the 13 Republicans helping them pass a bill, and they wonder, can we trust Mitch McConnell? That's not his fault, but Kevin McCarthy's in the crosshairs for what happened with these Republicans. Is that fair criticism of Kevin McCarthy, that he couldn't keep his coalition together?
I think it's fair criticism, though I would say that, you know, again, it's harder to keep people together when you've got, you know, someone like Adam Kinzinger who's headed for the exit. You know, mm-hmm. there's no reason necessarily for him to go along with what the coalition is going to do. But I will say this, there is, I think, a real need for people right now to be locked into an agenda that they are engaged with as much as they were engaged with the Contract for America back in the 90s, that they say and commit to supporting now. You can't wait on this. You can't wait till you've got a whole crew of new members and try to herd them like cats around different concepts. You know, what is the benefit at the end of the day for the average, you know, right of center voter, not just Republican voter, but just, you know, right leaning independents and the like, to vote in a whole crew of new people, to have a generational shift in leadership away from the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, if at the end of the day, the big difference is who gets to be in charge of what committee, or having subpoena power, or, you know, some of these other things that are important in the context of Washington, but do not make a difference in people's lives. They want to make sure that there's going to be a difference after this next coming election. And I think Republicans have a long way to go to convince the American people that what they can actually offer is something like that. And that is, I think, one of the most important aspects of what's going to happen in the coming year. Are they able to coalesce around an agenda that will actually make a difference, actually make an impact on people's lives, and force the Biden administration to back off all of this different woke agenda that they really are, as I said, true believers in, you know, sold to the American people as unifiers. They've done more to divide us in a 9-month period, a 10-month period now, than I think anybody could have anticipated, just given all the bad mistakes that they've made.
I agree. Ben, thank you so much. Appreciate your work. They are zealots in the Biden administration. You're listening to the Hugh Hewitt Show from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Bruce Hooley in for Hugh.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.